Thank you for our time together. We pray that you would give us clarity of thought, wisdom. Lord, continue to make us humble, supplicant, even as we seek your will for this project. Lord, give us, Joel and I, clarity of speech as we communicate where we're at. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of things that I want to do in as way of announcement first is our announcements kind of leading up to this have said that you're going to hear from me, you're going to hear from the building committee, and you're going to hear from the capital campaign committee. We will not hear directly from the capital campaign committee this morning. Instead, you will hear from them through copies of Redeemer Life that you should have picked up if you were here in first service as you left, or that you'll get from the ushers as you leave second service. The second thing is our previous town hall was very much dedicated and intended to be an opportunity for you to ask questions. This is not so much that kind of town hall. In this town hall, we are presenting a lot of information. And so I'm going to start with some information. The packets that are being handed out are going to be walked through by Joel, and then I'll come back with some kind of final information to share with you. So if we do have a little bit of time before 11 o'clock for questions, that's great. Otherwise, please feel free to reach out to one of us after that, all right? Let me back up and give you a little bit of history. As most of you, all of you know, this is our 30th anniversary year. 30 years ago, Redeemer was begun with our very first worship service, and our vision was always to be a church that was located in central Austin. That meant that we were going to be a city church. We were not going to be a suburban church. That meant that early on, we struggled with issues of parking, and early on, we struggled with issues of outreach, and some of those are issues that we plan on struggling with for as long as the Lord has us here. But the Lord was good to us, and He gave us land that was in close proximity to central Austin. It's becoming more central every year as Austin continues to grow. 18 years ago, so 30 years ago we started, 18 years ago we ran our very first capital campaign. The dream was beautiful. After I got here, I got to see many of the brochures and the pamphlets and the things that were created to try to raise money to build a new sanctuary. But we are in these buildings. And that means that that dream from 18 years ago remains a dream deferred. We failed to build the sanctuary at that time. Now, we were able to build Calvin Hall and Covenant Hall, and they have served us well. This Covenant Hall is one of the premier, if not the premier, spots for acoustics in the city of Austin. People love being here, love coming and listening to music here. But the session when we made the decision to move from not building the sanctuary to building these buildings, the session did not handle communication about that well. Now, mostly it was because we failed to raise enough money. Some will say, well, how come you didn't just come back to the congregation and ask? I'm not sure. I wasn't here then. In fact, most of the men on the session weren't engaged in that process. But what has become clear to me over the months that we have been doing this capital campaign is that there are still some hard feelings that people have about this. And so I know that we did not handle that hard decision very well. We didn't handle the decision of moving from our dream, the sanctuary, to the reality, these buildings. There should have been more communication with the congregation. There should have been more engagement overall, and I want you to know that I am sorry. I am apologizing on behalf of the session, even though I wasn't here, and that's because the session is the leadership of this church. We are not a congregational church. We don't submit things to y'all and ask for your vote. You vote with your feet and you vote with your pocketbooks, but we don't ask you to take a vote. When we made that decision, there were lots of good reasons for doing it, but it's also become obvious to me over these months of this capital campaign that back then we didn't handle the communication very well. Because of those mistakes, we are trying to do better today. But part of that doing better puts us in a little bit of a catch-22. Sometimes we give you information that changes. And we're giving you as much information up front so that you can see where we're at. But I also want to make sure that as we give you that information, we are very clear with you that sometimes these drawings will change. Or the parking might shift. Or the look might be different. And all of that is dependent on many different issues. It's dependent on cost, it's dependent on the city of Austin, it's dependent on our poring over plans and thinking about what we need from this building. So insofar as we are trying to provide you with as much information, my request to you is also to be in constant conversation with us. Until we actually have construction drawings that we have sent out for bids, the building is still in flux. We've heard a lot of your concerns. We've heard a lot of your comments, your hopes, your dreams for the building. Joel's going to talk a little bit about some changes that we have made in response to that. But also, I want you to continue to pray for us. We are not yet assured that we're building this building. Some of you have complained, well, this just seems like it's a done deal. It is not. Are you coming on Wednesday nights to pray with us as we seek the Lord? It's not a done deal. We are eagerly asking God for wisdom. But we are also coming together, anticipating the Lord's answer. We're coming together thinking that perhaps we can do this today. We're coming together to make good on this dream deferred. Now, some of us have deep, deep passion for this project. Some of us have concerns and questions about this project. To everyone, I want you to know that we are not going to be hasty. We're not going to rush this project. We have listened, and we will continue to listen to your questions and your concerns. Y'all know how to reach out to me. I get your emails. So if you have questions or concerns, please do so. One thing that we did that we should have done a long time ago is on September 3rd, we reinstituted our building committee. Now, our building committee has been hard at work for 1 month right now. And there's some exciting things that, man, we're praying that they will pan out, some big opportunities that we're hoping will come to pass. But there's lots of final details to also hammer out. And in the coming months, they will methodically work to deliver the right results. And we're going to have more of these kinds of meetings in order to communicate to you, here's where we're at. Here are the changes that have been made. Here's why we're making these changes. I know it will come as a great surprise to many of you, but I have never led a building campaign before. And if God ever gives me the opportunity to do it again, I'm pretty confident that I would do it a little bit differently than the way that we've done it this time. Again, some of you are concerned that we're moving way too fast. Some of you are asking, why don't we already see stone on stone out on our property? We want to get it right. You have heard us say that we believe that this will be a building for generations. And if we want to grow into it, not just in terms of our attendance at worship, but if we want to grow into it and see it as a centerpiece for all of the ministry of Redeemer, if we want to be good stewards of the funds that you are entrusting to us, we have to take our time to get it right. That means we're going to give the building committee some additional time to do their work before we take the next step with the capital campaign. We're pausing our capital campaign in order to give time for our building committee to do its work. Now, in a minute, you're going to hear from Joel Pafford, one of our ruling elders. He's also the chairman of our building committee. He's going to talk about the work that they've already done. He's going to walk you through the handouts that we have passed out. But what I want to try to assure you of today is that the session believes that the work of the building committee will give us a sound, sturdy, cohesive plan for the sanctuary. And when we are satisfied with that plan, we will bring it to you. And we will bring it to you with the prayerful hope that the Lord may finally allow us to see the fulfillment of a dream that has been deferred for almost 20 years. Please be patient. Please pray. Please support us. We're moving forward together in this new chapter that we have as a church, and I hope that I can bring you good news very, very soon. Now, Joel's going to come up and speak, and then after he speaks, I'm going to have one final comment and announcement, and then just a few final comments. Joel?
Good morning. Am I on? I'm on. I feel like one of those weathercasters, you know, I'm not used to putting one, and my clothes are already getting tighter as everything falls down, and so if I button my jacket, I'm afraid things are not going to work. So it's a bit of a challenge this morning. If you have a handout, I did not intend for those to be handed out yet, so I would like to ask you to please not look at those. If you don't have a handout, don't worry. You'll have one in just a few minutes. Before we begin, I want to take a special opportunity to thank Kathy Collier. I don't know if she's even here, and she probably won't appreciate me doing this. But I just have to say that Kathy came in on her day off to prepare everything that you're about to have, frankly, in order just to save me from having to drive in from Lakeway. And so I just want to acknowledge her great gift and kindness. Before we begin, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that your name would be hallowed. We pray that your will would be done. We pray that in our own hearts and lives, your will would make progress, and that your presence would transform who we are as we observe more and more the riches of your love toward us. Change us into your image. Help us to proceed with concord and peace, to know your intentions for us relative to this building. Through Christ our Lord we pray, amen. So I'm gonna start with a little bit of an overview, and then we'll get to the meat of this. On September 3rd, the session reconstituted the building committee. New members included Jess McCreary, Rick Mueller, Taylor Thompson, Ken Kiley, and Terry Patrick. Barry McBee and George DuPere were included from the previous building committee. In that meeting on September the 3rd, the session asked me as chair to lead the building committee to form responses to program concerns that they had about the existing plan. I started calling these the five things. I was going to call them the 5 points, but somebody had already taken that title, so I decided to call them the five things. By September 9, we had canvassed all the members of the building committee and talked to them about what it would mean to serve, and they agreed to serve. So on September the 10th, we started in earnest. The building committee met and made the following organizational assignments. Barry is to process invoices and send them to Ken. Jess, Ken, Taylor, and Barry to interface with the Capital Campaign Committee so that they can hear from the building committee so that our communication makes more sense. Terry is to gather existing proposals and post them on a SharePoint site so we could find what had been done to date. Barry and Terry to lead any sort of interface with legal going forward should we need to develop proposals or contracts in the future. Ken, no great surprise, to organize finances. And finally, George, Rick, Terry, and me as what we call the Plan Development Committee. That was the committee responsible to take the five things and go develop options. In addition, we've had 2 building committee meetings. There have been meetings with Beck Construction, the owner's rep, MWM Civil, MWM Architecture, the City of Austin, the structural engineer, the mechanical engineer, and a meeting on site to walk through with the civil professionals what is a, could happen here if this project goes forward and what it literally will look like. We have been busy. The program concerns the session asked us to look at are these: to clarify the extent of the quarried stone in this new proposed building, and to clarify the extent of what you might call conventional construction. To explore the possibility of building out a basement to a shell level that the City of Austin would recognize as entitled to be built out fully at some future date in case they change the rules. To explore adding a cry nursing room close to the nave. To explore options to increase the flow of around the arch piers. In this building, the arch piers come down, and that's the structural support for the nave. And the way the chairs interfaced with that created a problem. They ask us to look at that. And finally, they ask us to explore options to shorten the 50-foot hall from the narthex to get into the nave. Between September 9 and September 27, the building committee developed and reviewed sketch options to respond to those five things. On September 30th, I presented those to the session, and the session selected an option that you will see in just a minute called Narthex Option 2. We were unable to offer any basement options in that time frame. The reason is because in the existing assumptions in the undercroft, what would be the basement, is where all the guts of the building are. So we have to understand the structural aspects, the mechanical aspects, the HVAC aspects, the electrical aspects. We have to understand ingress and egress requirements. We have to understand what the City of Austin is going to not only allow, but require. We have to understand sprinklers. We have to understand, do we need an internal stair? And if so, where does that pop out in the existing floor plan? It's just not an easy question. So I have nothing for you for that today. But I do have plans I'm about to give you. But in addition to that, John Arnes has been at work on the landscape concept, and he will hand those out and go over those with you briefly. Before we hand these out and show you the nice pictures and walk through those, I want to give you an update on the status. The building committee, as Eric said, and indeed the whole church, is still in an exploratory stage. This is a potential project. It's not a project, it is a potential project. The plans that we have are at the SD level. Plans typically go from concept to schematic to design development to construction drawings. We're right here. That means we've got about 30% of the plans. We don't know yet if we're going to go forward. That depends on the church. No contracts for construction have been signed. No proposals have been executed to move the plans forward. The building committee and the capital campaign committee will continue to work closely together, and when the session believes we have a clear mandate to move forward, then the building committee will resume its work in earnest to advance the plans and presumably build the building. Now with that, if you have plans here, if you're one of the volunteers that you've either volunteered or been conscripted, if you would come forward quickly and hand out the plans. I think just hand, so there's no confusion, just hand out everything. There's going to be two packages. One's going to have some purple looking stuff on the front that will look like this. So that's where we're going to start. We're going to start with that. And the second plan is going to look like a landscape plan, which somehow mine disappeared. And I also want to apologize if you got one of these earlier and I came around frantically pulling them out of your hands. In my mind, I had this all laid out. And when I saw them coming, I saw them being handed out, I went into my wife will tell you my normal mode of panicking and reacting to everything. She is not that way, thanks be to God. Let's just give these just a moment. I'm aware of the time. Who doesn't have a set of plans? Okay, wait just another 30 or 45 seconds and we should be there. Thank you all for doing that and for being patient. You may want to keep your hands up so those that are handing them out can see. I see no more hands, so I'm going to start with this set of plans. There are three pages. I'm just going to briefly walk you through what you're looking at. The session asked us to clarify where the quarried stone is and where the quarried stone is not. This plan does that. The dark purple in the middle shows you the nave. That's where the quarried stone is. The walls and the quarried stone, the walls, like if this were the nave, the walls would be in the front and back, would all be quarried stone. Everything outside of that footprint in the lighter color is conventional construction. So it's very clear. Yes, the front of the church, the chancel is on the right, the rear of the church is to the left. Next page. This you'll see is called Narthex Option 2. Your page should look blank, pretty much, in the middle. This addresses the cry nursing changing room. To the left of the plan, back at the narthex, you will see that what was one large choir robing room has now been halved. That is approximately 18 by 18 feet gross. The chairs in there are simply representative. That doesn't mean that that's the way they're going to look. You see a sink, so there's a place to change a child, have a child crying, nurse a child with a screen and that sort of thing. This plan also demonstrates how the session has elected to deal with the 50-foot hall. What has happened in the narthex is that you will see the narthex on the left end of the plan is now U-shaped. Before, it was a simple rectangle. The U-shape now wraps around, adds a few feet of glass, about 20 or less, and adds about 4 feet to the narthex. It opens it up and alleviates that part of the hall. The hall is also mitigated by when you walk through the first door that you see there, those two doors are a sound lock. When you walk down that hallway, in the previous plan, well, you first of all entered at the end of the narthex there, the cry room area, what's now the cry room, but now you just enter at a much shorter space. But in the first plan, you could not walk into the nave until the second arch. That would be that leave out or blank thing. The gray matter that you see checkerboarded down there, that's illustrating the stone pillars, right? So where you don't see the gray stone pillars, that's a little hall so you can go in. This plan removes the instrument platform from the area to allow the congregation to walk into the nave through the first arch. The instrument platform was a fairly simple wood frame constructed platform about 39 feet by 14 feet deep, about 540 square feet. That is now taken out. The results is that we will have a hall that's less than 18 feet long, as opposed to 50. This plan is an attempt to address those concerns from the session. Finally, turn the page. That plan is also labeled Narthex Option 2. It is the same plan, except it has representational seating in it. This is to address the flow at the arch piers and illustrates the seating capacity at 557. 557 from the nave seats and the choir seats. No one from the chancel is counted. There's a huge note on this. We use chairs. Chairs are movable. So any plan that the building committee would show you is going to be representational in the seating, because the seating is not fixed. We're not using pews, at least at this point in time. We're not bolting the chairs down. So any plan you see with chairs on it should be considered representational. This plan assumes 28 rows of seats. This, where you're sitting right now, has 18 rows of seats, to give you some sense of perspective. This plan, the first row to the back row, is about 74 feet. Where we're sitting right now, it's about 50 feet from this row to the back row, not including the choir. The current seat pitch you're sitting in, that's the space between the seat and the nose, is 36 inches. This also assumes 36 inches. This plan has side aisles off to the side that are about 6 feet wide. And so this building that we're looking at is narrower. This building is about 43 or 44 feet. This building is 39 feet wide in the nave, not with the side aisles, just with the nave proper, if you will. So it's narrower and it's longer. To put that in perspective of the 74 feet, if Rick, tell me if I'm wrong, because we measured this the other day. If you measured from right here and you went back to the wall where the last person in the choir sits, that's about 74 feet. So the seating on the floor would be about like that. John, you're shaking your head. Am I wrong? Pardon? Okay. Rick, but if I'm wrong, I'll clarify. That's what this plan addresses. As I said, there is no basement option. Here's the net. The plan that you're looking at expands the narthex to be U-shaped. It removes the wooden instrument platform. It divides the choir robing room into a cry nursing room. Those are the extent of the changes. Nothing else other than the platform that I'd mentioned in the nave changed. What we have brought forward is an option that maintains the acoustical properties that have been baked into this building for intelligent spoken word, praying, and singing. It better meets the needs of young families in our church. As I was standing outside today, I don't often do that while the first service is going on, to see all the kids coming and going. This answers that need today about where do all those people go. And so I've learned standing out there, it's been a long time since I had small kids. Some of them make a lot of noise. So this gives them somewhere to go. This plan expands the space in the narthex and relieves the long hall. This plan conserves and makes allowance for the installation of the Fisk Opus 46 organ. Nothing changed. This plan meets the seating requirements the session designated in 2004 and reaffirmed in 2018. The session thinks this is a workable plan that meets the needs of our body now, while being the enduring, long-lasting building that has been important to this church and reflected in what we have tried to do. I'm going to ask John Arnes to come now and walk you through his concept landscape plan, but there's one caveat about John's plans. On the narthex end, you will notice that his footprint of the building does not include that little bump out. It's just a timing issue of getting everything together and rolling it into what John was doing. So just heads up on that. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Give John the microphone.
Sorry. It's okay. I'm the professor. This landscape plan is still very early in the concept stage. And a lot of what you're seeing here is based upon a meeting I had with George and Dana back in late August. And was just trying to come up with some solutions for the church. You know, again, the main thing, like the church building, trying to have a structure that would, you know, a landscape that would also, you know, go along with the long-lasting, you know, standing for the being there for the long haul. And something we talked about was a church in Manhattan, New York, Trinity. And, you know, hopefully I'll pin this photo up with the plans in the plan or the model room after this. But just trying to illustrate how, you know, you've got all the big, you know, like we have the large apartment buildings, you know, here on either side of the structure. And the main idea or concept with the landscape was to have this place of respite, or this place where you still had trees and you still had something green and still something welcoming, you know, as the city of Austin, you know, progresses and grows and becomes a, you know, a larger city. And another issue we had was, you know, how do you get into the sanctuary? And originally the civil engineers were trying to have a drop-off area along Alexander, but unfortunately, that interferes with the city of Austin's bike lane, which I don't know if any of you guys that live here in Austin and has had to deal with that. That's kind of Austin's sacred cow. It's like, thou shalt not interfere with the bike lane. So I came up with a quick idea, the business of churches is weddings and funerals, and how are you going to, you know, get people into the church without having to, you know, go up a huge ramp? And so if you note here on the new drive entry, here is just trying to have a spot where folks could, you know, drop off. And we have a slight slope of maybe 2%. Typically, you only notice the slope when it's a 3% slope. So it's fairly flat and level. Just trying to add, you know, value to the entire church property that we have and make the property as level and as flat as we possibly can so that you can easily make your way in to the... At that time when I met with George and Dana, there was, you know, a conversation about a pergola structure at the entrance to the North X building too. So I just quickly freehanded that on there. This is all mostly me just freehanding, drawing, trying to come up with some, you know, solutions based upon, you know, a grading plan that I worked out based upon the civil engineer's plans. So again, we have this large parking lot here. And, you know, just trying to make it so anybody in a wheelchair could easily even park in the lower, you know, parking lot here, and you can hit this sidewalk and, you know, make your way up and into the, you know, church. So it's, the landscape plan is, you know, again, just trying to have trees and a landscape that would last, you know, stand the test of time. And then the main thing I was just trying to do is make it easy to, you know, get into the sanctuary, but also have a beautiful entrance or place from Alexander. And we already have these Schumard red oaks, which actually are a long-lived tree. And just trying to bring more of that in and envelop around the entrance to the sanctuary. And for the most part, the rest of it is, you know, just trying to have an austere, easy to maintain landscape that kind of, hopefully we, you know, downplay the perimeter view of all of the apartment buildings or whatever future buildings that they may turn into. And it's just that simple. And also, if you'll notice, sorry, I should have mentioned this early on, George had mentioned that, you know, the place that we're getting the blocks to build the sanctuary, they have a lot of reject blocks that they really don't, you know, would be an inexpensive way of building some retaining walls and some staircases and some paving. So it just seemed the best way to go would be like, let's have an extension for consistency from the new sanctuary building out into the landscape, and that's what the device that I'm using to help to level and flatten, you know, the landscape. And, you know, hopefully here off to the west, you know, we could even have a large lawn space where, you know, I remember my boys, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get them out of trees so we can come in here and go to church, and I'm like, you know, let's have an area where they can play and it's not the parking lot. Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to draw your attention to a couple of things. One is on that part of the plan, that's the north side right here. Just notice that the parking would change to be head in. And what John has done is trying to contextualize the building with the surroundings, as he said, to minimize the views off and to soften what you see as you come into the space. The only other thing I know to say is, I think one thing that surprises people about this building is how close it is to this building. At one time in my mind, I thought it was way out there in the parking lot somewhere. It's not way out there in the parking lot somewhere. This building is basically starts right there, these side aisles that come off, right there where our existing retaining wall is. When you go down those steps, that retaining wall, that's where the building is. And so it's very relational to these buildings. So there would be this green space. You can see what John has there, these pergolas, and then just a little strip of lawn. That's how close this is. So that's a little bit, unless you really understand that, it's kind of hard to visualize. It was for me. But it's just right there. Pastor?
Yeah, take it. Thank you. So our committees, building committee and our capital campaign committee, established, formed. If you ever served on a committee, you know that sometimes people come on committees, and then for various reasons, they leave committees, and that has happened on both our capital campaign committee and our building committee already. But there is one departure from our building committee that I need to share with you, and that is that George DuPere has withdrawn from the building committee. Now, in many ways, if you've been around here long enough, you know that George has been the most faithful, the most fervent carrier of the vision to build this new sanctuary, but last week he communicated to the session that he felt the need to withdraw from the building committee. We're working with him to better understand his concerns. I am not going to share with you any of the reasons that he shared with us. If this is something that you are concerned about, you need to go and talk with George directly. I want to finish today just by simply saying this. This is an enormous project. There's been lots of challenges already that we've been working through. It would be really easy for us to simply say, it's too much, it's too hard. We're going to let it go because we don't know how to tackle something this big. But the session believes we should continue prayerfully to explore building this sanctuary for three key reasons that I want to share with you. First, in God's providence, we seem to be at a time and at a place when interest in building this building, the availability of the resources to build this building, and the right team to build this building, somehow God has brought all of those things together to potentially carry a vision forward that we've had for 20 years. That's the first reason. The second reason is that since 2016, except for the COVID years, this church has seen consistent year-over-year growth in attendance. Because of that, as we think about the future, maybe you come to second service and you're thinking, why do we need a new building? First service and second service together, you start projecting out 5 years. I don't want to do three services here. Well, why don't we plant a church? We've planted many churches, and we will probably continue to plant churches. We're not giving up on that. But how many of you went to Byron West Church in Dripping Springs? Not too many. One, two. Part of the challenge that we have as Redeemer is that we're so unique. That's what brings so many of you here. We're going to try to push as many of you away as we can. But we also know that because of who we are, we're always going to have people that come in and we're willing to drive in from long distances to worship with us. We're going to be dedicated to church planting, but we also know that I believe, with God's blessing, going to continue to see our church grow. First reason why we're going to continue to prayerfully explore this is because we believe that God in His providence has brought so many different things together. Secondly, because we believe the church is going to continue to grow. And third, if our church grows numerically, we need not just a space to hold the people for Sunday worship, we also need space that we can dedicate to other kingdom work. We need space to learn for our school of discipleship. We need space to equip for Marcus's theological academy. He has visions for this thing to grow. We're already seeing the potential for it to grow in this next year. We need space to form disciples at our Sunday evening at Redeemer, our journey of motherhood, other groups that are yet to be formed. We need space to partner with other like-minded Christian organizations. This campus is filled up Monday through Friday. There's no more room for us to partner with any other Christian organization in town. We have two schools that use this space. We have multiple other Christian nonprofits that we are partnering with. We also believe that we want space to continue to bless the city of Austin. We formed a nonprofit, Arts on Alexander, several years ago. I have heard pejoratively that some people are calling this the AOA building. That is not the case. We believe that this building is our building to be used to bless the city of Austin. And sometimes that's going to be through our organization that we started called AOA. And sometimes that's going to be through conferences like this anniversary conference that we have coming up in a couple of weeks featuring Dr. Godfrey. We've had other people here. We want to continue to use this space to bless our city. Oh, Eric, this seems like an audacious dream. It seems too big. Tell me about it. It puts us on our knees. But because it is so big, because it seems so impossible, we know that if it happens, it's only because God has done it. We're going to take some more time to perfect the plan. We're going to continue to seek the Lord's will. I want to continue to hear from the congregation. My request to you is that you would talk to me and to our elders and to our committee members with respect. That has not always happened. We're going to try to raise the funds necessary to establish a firm foundation for the future generations, men, women, and children who gather together to worship our great God here. That's all we got. I'm right at 11 o'clock. Follow up personally if you have questions. Let's stand and sing the doxology. Praise God from...